You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM, proudly presents Studio 89.7. This talk program focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. And now, here's your host, Philadelphia radio veteran, Paul Perrello.
Well, my next guest, I was thinking about how to introduce Dave Patton, and I was going to use that proverbial triple threat. But he's no triple threat. He's a quadruple threat. He is musician, writer, producer, and actor. And I guess we could also throw in there a Philly native. I mean, you grew up in the suburbs, so we welcome Dave Patton to the program. You're one busy guy these days.
Yeah, man. It's good. Yeah. I like that.
You grew up out here in the Lower Merion area, right? Out in
Havertown, yeah.
Havertown, it's called, right? Yeah. In I guess, a school that really incubated, you know, that's where your talent, I guess, started, is what I'm going for here. You were pretty much involved in high school, and these talents led you to want to not necessarily pursue a career first in movies, but in music.
Yeah, music's been kind of number one all along, and yeah, it really did start in just, you know, I had great friends around me, and my family's always been very supportive and stuff. And, you know, yeah, I wanted to play drums. And so, you know, my parents got me some lessons and stuff like that. And, you know, my friends and I just started a band. And it's kind of just, you know, just practice makes perfect. And yeah, we just played all the time.
Were you one of those kids that had the drum set and just constantly pounded away at the drum set all hours of the day?
Yeah, in mom's basement, yeah.
So much so that your parents at one time probably wanted to kill you because the beating of the drum probably never stopped.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure more than one occasion, yeah.
Look where it's got you now, for sure, right?
Yeah.
In reading about you, Dave, and we'll get into not only your movie career, but your music, but I said affectionately at the beginning of the interview here that you are one busy individual because it just seems like no matter which way you turn, it's either your music or it's your writing or it's your performing. Mm-hmm. Now you're acting. What drives you? I mean, what gives you that spark, that energy to push on?
I think I always say it's been a long time coming, which usually gets me a couple of laughs because I know I'm still young. Right? I know. It's all relative, though. It's all relative, right? It hasn't really been like the easiest path or whatever. And so, like, with that, with art, I think part of why anyone does it is kind of like because of the effect it has on other people. Like, that's why I love movies that's why I love making movies, because I've loved watching them my whole life. The same with music has always been there for me when I, you know, am horribly depressed, you know, over some girl or whatever it may be. And, you know, same with books and stuff. They're like, you know, an escape from your normal life and stuff like that. And so to be able to supply everyone else with that, because somebody has to do it, you know, is part of why I do it. You know, I do it for me. It's kind of like an emotional outlet for me in a lot of ways, but it's also just really, really cool to be able to essentially like help other people. That kind of sounds more like selfish than mm-hmm. I want it to, but you know, I'll get emails, like fan emails and stuff, from people who are just like, man, I was really, really depressed. Like, I was actually like, you know, contemplating like doing some bad stuff, mm-hmm. and like, you know, your music really kind of spoke to me and I really can relate, and it brought me out of where I was at, and just like, thank you. And that to me is, that's it. That's why I do it.
Doesn't that, as an artist, doesn't that put a lot of responsibility or weight on your shoulders? I mean, because look, an artist will sit down and write a song or perform a song or write a book and may not necessarily think of the consequences, not in the negative sense, but mm-hmm. you don't think of the reaction necessarily when you're, you know, putting words to music, if you will. But if someone hears a song of yours, and you know, they may not be in the greatest of places, they may be in a dark place, but all of a sudden that song has given them the reason to push forward. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that put pressure on you then as an artist to be more aware of the words and the music that you're creating?
Yeah, it does. And it's really hard to block that out, because I don't think that's particularly the best way to approach when you're actually creating stuff. I don't think you should have, you know, an audience's expectations in your mind when you're making stuff, because that just kind of is the antithesis of like what it is to like be an artist and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can't help it's hard to ignore type thing. And, you know, I just try to, I guess, at least keep my brand and like my image and like, you know, the stuff that I talk about kind of in line with, I don't know. I don't want to have like a negative impact on people who listen to my stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I try to, it's a fine balance for sure. Yeah.
Your background, your parents both come from, you know, the world of science, if you will, at least you're the son of a chemical engineer father, a chemist mother. You yourself were an electrical engineering major at Penn State.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you transfer to Temple to study film and minor, what was it? You minored in math.
In math. I've always liked math. Yeah. I just didn't want to. Engineering just wasn't it's not that it wasn't my thing, it's just I just really wanted to do music, man. That was it. That was all that mattered to me. And you know, I didn't want to blow off school by any means, but I had to get back into the city and like back to where like stuff is happening. Mm-hmm. Penn State, it's a great spot, but it's extremely secluded and there's not much going on in terms of like the music scene, if you will. And so yeah, I had to get back, and I was the only one of all my friends who left. And but you know, I don't regret it. So.
Yeah. One other thing that struck me about you is that you come from a generation or an age of youngsters, young people, who don't necessarily like to, I don't know how to delicately say this without offending anybody.
Just say it.
You know, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of times, and I teach at the college level, so I see this in the classroom every day, but students today, and although you have, you know, you're past the typical age of a college student, they just expect things to happen. They don't necessarily want to work toward goal. You have proven that if you really stick to it and you dig your heels in and you are driven, whatever it is, whether it's math or whether it's engineering or whether it's music or movies, that if you really stick with it, it will pay off. It can pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to commit and be persistent and just never give up. It's all those cliches that you hear and that you see the little quotes on the wall with like a pretty sunrise in the background or whatever. But that's so true. And so many people are just quick to give up because, yeah, there is kind of this expectation, like kind of feelings of like entitlement that a lot of, I guess my generation kind of has, where just because of like the instant gratification that we all get from social media and iPhones and everything, I feel like they think it just needs to be handed to you, and it just, that's not how it works, man. Like, that's not really how it works. In some places that is how it works, because there is a lot of nepotism in the entertainment world, which can be very frustrating. That's something that I kind of battle with a lot. I'll admit it gets very, very, very frustrating to see someone who just, you know, because their dad is this person, you know, they have everything that I've been working for, you know, my whole life to get and still haven't achieved. And they got it because they decided one day that they wanted to, you know, on Wednesday afternoon, they wanted to be a singer and, you know, and their dad made it happen. So, but I don't want to harp on that, but it does take a lot of hard work. Yeah.
It's got to make you feel good, however, that what you have accomplished, you have accomplished. No one was there to necessarily pick up the phone for you and put you in connection with a, you know, with a record producer or, you know, a casting director. Is that you have earned it. It didn't necessarily come the way of a relative or a friend or, you know. So deep down inside, while it is frustrating, and I've been there too, working on this end of the business, you know, it is gratifying to know that what you have accomplished, you've done on your own. And on the backside of that is you have no one to blame but yourself if you haven't accomplished the goals that you set out to accomplish.
Yeah, which is part of, I guess, my ongoing motivation is just because there is no one else to blame but myself. I mean, I've got a great crew of people that have been around, you know, for years. I'm a very loyal guy and I have a small camp and I couldn't have done it without them. It's great. You have to have a strong supporting team. But yeah, I think in a way, because, you know, it's not meritless, I kind of can appreciate everything that I have a little bit more than I feel like a lot of people do who are in similar positions. Not everyone, I'm not trying to generally sweep. There are a lot of great guys that I've met along the way who are very similar to me, which is cool. Then I become best friends with them because you just immediately just same mentality and everything. But yeah, I think I really just do kind of appreciate and just I try never to take any of this stuff for granted.
we're talking with Dave Patton, who is a musician. He's a writer, producer, actor. We sit here and talk your movie, Delivery Man, and we talk about, you know, Vince Vaughn, one of the I don't want to say funny, because the movie is a funny movie. He is a funny actor, but it's a sort of a serious side to this, you know, this movie too. But when you talk about stick-to-itiveness, you had to audition for this role 6 times before you actually got word that you got the role.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not like a quick sweep, walk in there and book the part by any means. This was, I went up to New York. I was still living in Philly, in, you know, downtown at the time here in Philly. And so I, you know, took the Bolt bus up to the audition, and I got the call back. And then I went back the second day to meet with the director and all the producers and everything, which was great. And then, yeah, and then you just don't hear back for weeks. And then you get called in and they're like, well, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think we need to bring you in and like test you some more. So you go in and, you know, and every time you like, you get down and like do 3, 4, 5 days of preparation and everything for that, you know, the 5 minutes that you're in the room with the casting people. And then they're like, okay, yeah, thanks. See you later. We'll be in touch. And then you hear nothing for another bunch of weeks. And then, you know, it's, oh man, they're just yanking your chain the whole time. And, the longest period of radio silence was about a month, I think. And, I just, you know, I just had kind of moved on. I was like, you know, well, it was a good experience and, you know, we'll get him on the next one, I guess. That's kind of how you just got to keep plugging. And then, yeah, I got the call. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. It's awesome.
When you, and I'm sure you've seen the movie at least once. I'm sure you've seen
it
more than
5, 6 times. Yeah,
exactly. So when you see yourself now up there on the screen, larger than life, what goes through your mind?
At first, it was pretty weird, but I'm kind of gotten used to it just from doing music videos and everything on YouTube. I've been doing that for a while, so it's not like I feel weird when I hear my voice like a lot of people do, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But It's just such a cool process to know like what it is like on set and how long everything takes to shoot, and like the tiniest little scenes that you think like you can get done in an hour take 2 days to do, and they take up all of 2 seconds of film time. And it's just so cool just to like have been there to experience from start to finish on such a huge like studio movie.
Notice that I waited 12 minutes into the interview before I asked the question, what was it like to work with Vince Vaughn? Because I'm sure you've gotten that every interview that you've done, right?
Yes.
So what was it like to work with him?
It is awesome. And I'll say it every single time because it really was a great time. He's such a nice, like, genuine dude. Just, like, very caring. And, I mean, he's hilarious. He's very similar to, you know, what you see on screen. Mm-hmm. That's, like, his personality. He's just a funny guy to be around. And, you know, it was an awesome time. I was on set a lot and, you know, so like we'd go out for beers and stuff after working and stuff like that, and just hang. And you know, he's kind of cooling out a little bit because he has 2 kids now, and you can kind of tell. And this role, because it has like a more serious side to it and like a lot of sentimental elements, and just he carries kind of a lot of weight, emotional weight on his shoulders. It wasn't kind of him just doing his whole like shtick where he just kind of walks up and is like, hey, you know, quick talking. Right. It was like before each take, he was really kind of in the corner, like, you know, homing in on his character and what he needed to do, which was really cool to see. It's just kind of inspiring because it's like a new, it's definitely kind of a different type of movie for him too.
And the fact that you're a musician also helped you land the part, because the part that you play, first of all, we should just give a little bit of the backstory to the movie Delivery Man, is that Vince Vaughn's character, David Wozniak, finds out that because he made numerous deposits in a bank, a sperm bank, he is now the father to like 533 biological children. Yeah. You happen to be one of those 533. Mm-hmm. And your character, you're a busker, you're playing around the streets of New York City, Central Park. Mm-hmm. You are a musician in the movie, so you're a musician in real life. So do you feel that that helped in the audition process, or did that perhaps cause the casting directors to want to hear or see more of you and the depth of your musical ability?
It definitely helped. It's kind of a double-edged sword, I would say, because I'm a little bit more experienced than just like the actor who plays guitar on the side. Mm-hmm. I get taken very seriously as a musician, but then on the flip side, it's kind of like, oh, well, he's a musician. I don't know if he's actually an actor, mm-hmm. which, you know, I take acting very seriously too. And so that's a little bit frustrating, but I mean, clearly it worked out because I got the part. So that's awesome. No complaints. The coolest thing about doing music was, and playing music in the film, was the whole process of what we were doing and working with Ken, the director. He's kind of like a big classic rock head, and like, so am I, which was really cool. And he had, there were like, I must have done maybe 15 different song, like demos for songs and stuff. He was trying to figure out what he wanted to use in certain parts of the film. And one of the songs that we went with is for the campfire scene. It's a Van Morrison song. Mm-hmm. We actually ended up doing two Van Morrison songs. And Van is like kind of notorious for being super strict about like what he lets out and stuff of his music and licensing and stuff like that. So I had to demo the song, and I'm pretty sure that my demo got sent over to Van's camp, and most likely Van, and he listened to it, and like, I guess I did it justice enough for him to actually pass it off and say, yeah, you guys can use it in this film, which is just the coolest thing in the world to me, to like just think that he's heard my rendition of his songs and been like, yeah, you know what, I can dig that. Yeah.
So music has always been part of your life. So, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So the music came first. I mean, that was your driving motivation growing up out here in the suburbs, right?
Yeah, for sure. I've always been doing film stuff. It's, just me and my buddies have been shooting short films, and we shot like, you know, like a 60-minute movie when I was in 10th grade type mm-hmm. thing. So it's been a bit of both. And in college, I went to school for film because I didn't want to go for music, because music is a passion of mine and a hobby. And like, and I did not want to go and take tests on scales and, you know, the freaking all that crap, you know, that I play by ear. I need to get up on my being able to read music and all the different stuff that goes along with it. But yeah, that's why I went for film, and that's kind of where everything really took off. Like at the end of high school was kind of when I really decided to commit to it all. So that's kind of, yeah, definitely started with music, but I've been pushing with both right now.
I've seen some of your music videos, and they are really productions. I mean, oftentimes when you see stuff on the internet, on YouTube, they look like they're slapped together. These yeah. YouTube videos are well done. I mean, they're professionally done. I mean, you've spared no expense in making the best, you know, product to feature your music out there on the internet.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's me and my buddy Dave Ricks. We met in college, and he produces and I direct them. And we started our production company when we were seniors in college and everything. And we had offices and interns and everything, and just skipped a lot of classes because we just were more interested in actually doing it than learning about it. And yeah, it's great. We've had a lot of success with that, which has been amazing. And, you know, been fortunate enough to shoot videos for Meek Mill, who's a hometown mm-hmm. rapper and everything. Mm-hmm. So his whole MMG camp, Rick Ross and Wale. And then, you know, we've gotten hired by Interscope Records and Warner Records and everything to shoot music videos, which is really, really cool. And looking to continue that as well and, you know, make some movies and stuff in the next years to come.
When did the ability, you've always had the skill, you know, to write music. When did you learn, or when did you feel that you had this book in you, Run of the Mill, which has done extremely well on the bookseller list? I mean, it's a compelling story, but again, another side of you that that we see you on in this movie. We look at your website, DavePatton.com. But when did you realize that you had this book in you?
It's been kind of a, like, for the past 3 years, I would say it's really been chopping itself together. Writing is just another way, kind of just when I get super frustrated. There's actually a bunch of like those kind of like, I'm ashamed, not necessarily ashamed to admit, but like those self-help books of like figuring out like what the hell you're doing with your life and everything. And, you know, writing is just like basically essentially just like a diary mm-hmm. can be extremely helpful. And, there's all sorts of other fancy terms to not call it a diary right. and like say that you have like your morning pages or your like art pages or like whatever. But writing is just, it's a huge, just outlet to get your frustrations out. It really is very cathartic to be able to just write everything that you're feeling and just cursing all over the place and just like, I can't stand all this crap and everything. And so essentially the main character of this book is he's very cynical and kind of jaded. And that's a lot because it's basically kind of me when I'm in my lower points of just very, very frustrated and just, you know, wanting to give up, that mm-hmm. type of vibe. And just that was kind of my way to express everything and just get it out of my system, because I don't want to have that in my system all the time.
Sure.
So it's a lot of that, and just like the experiences that come along with just doing something like this it's crazy. You meet crazy people. I've come to just expect like the wildest situations that I don't even bat an eye anymore. It's crazy. And living out in LA for the past year and stuff, people are crazy. Let's just say that. Yeah.
I'm going to read the back cover of the book, and then I'll get into a few questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Famous musician, 26-year-old millionaire, and known playboy Tyler Clark finds himself launched into his repressed past after a chance encounter with an old friend during an after-party at one of his concerts. Under threat of blackmail, Tyler is forced to painfully reveal the truth behind a tragic summer of his youth, a summer that started with drugs, sex, and good music, and ended in betrayal, hatred, and suicide. Famous musician, 26-year-old, I'm not quite sure if the millionaire part applies to you just yet. I hope it does for your benefit. Playboy, I don't know. You can or cannot answer that.
It's fiction.
I know it does say fiction on the back cover. But how much of this is Dave Patton?
I would say, I think the safe number is just, it's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. 50%. There's a lot of characters, that are, my friends kind of clearly know who they are and stuff like that, because they've been a huge, massively integral part of my life and making all this stuff happen. And, I'm 25, he's 26, he's a millionaire. I'm not quite anywhere near a millionaire.
He's a musician, you're a musician.
Yeah, there are some similarities and everything. It's kind of like where I want to be and everything like that. And it's about 50-50, yeah, I would definitely say.
And the names have been changed to protect the innocent, I'm
sure. Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
East Coast home now for you? Or are you back and forth between the East Coast and the West Coast? Or
East Coast will always be home.
Sure.
But no, I'm living out in L.A., so that's pretty much the home digs right now.
Oftentimes when authors, actors, directors come in and I ask them, what's your favorite movie, or who was your favorite character, or what's your favorite book? And that's like, well, that's like asking me, who my favorite kid is. But so I won't necessarily ask that. But, given everything that you've done at the age of
25,
what do you like doing most? The acting, the music, the writing.
It's all. Yeah, that's kind of like choosing between the kids. I don't know if I really can. It's always been my hobby. It's what I've done, on Friday and Saturday nights my whole life anyway. And I've been fortunate enough to kind of flip this into an actual career, which is incredible. So a lot of times people ask, what are your hobby? What do you do when you're not doing this stuff? And I'm like, this is what I did when I wasn't busy with anything else. This is what I want to be doing all the time. Always. I just love it. I love what I do, which is I know a rare thing, and I'm very just grateful that I kind of have always known that, because I know just even with my brother and sister, they're younger than me and they're going through college and stuff, and that a lot of people are just kind of undecided, that you don't quite know, and I always just have, just inherently I just knew, which is an awesome thing. But no, they're just, I love being able to switch back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. I'll say that for sure. Because if I was only stuck with one, I would go crazy. I just wouldn't be. It's like too much of anything. It's just too much of too much. And I can't. That's what's so great with when you get frustrated or stuck in a rut, you can just switch over and do something else and still, kind of keep the momentum moving forward. So,
given the hotbed of musical activity here in the city of Philadelphia, where so many great acts and so many great performers, not just from the music world, but from entertainment generally speaking, have come from this area, I have to ask, what were the musical influences on you growing up in this area?
My main influences just growing up in general is pretty much I'm a big classic rock kind of junkie, so Led Zeppelin is like the be-all, end-all for me. Right. I absolutely just love them to death. And, you know, Pink Floyd, Allman Brothers, like all the old-school guys, Jethro Tull. And then I went through a Nirvana phase because, like, I feel like every kid growing up these days goes through a Nirvana phase.
Right.
And then Ben Folds 5 is huge for me. I absolutely just love them, like... I love what they did. I'm not really a huge Ben Folds like solo career fan, but Ben Folds 5, man, that was it for me. And that's about it. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff now. I listen to a lot of hip hop. I know Meek, you know, I'm good friends with him, so I'm very aware of what's going on in the hip hop world.
Sure.
Which is fun. It's entertaining. Let's say that.
Never boring, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, all sorts of stuff. Like that's just kind of like that's out there making it happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Given the drive, given your personality, given the fact that you have seemed to always have known where you want to be and where you want to go, where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Jeez. That's the one thing. I know where I want to be, but it's like I don't even know where I'll be 2 months from now. It's like it's so kind of like volatile, I guess, in a way, like just the way that stuff just pops out of nowhere. Like you don't even know with acting and stuff, you know, you book something, it shoots next month, you know, you could be in Brazil next month. And then, you know, but I say 5 years from now, my ideal year is pretty much, you know, cutting an album, going on tour and shooting a movie. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. And then, you know, the time in between there, a book takes a long time to get through anyway. That was the hardest thing I've ever done. Like writing that dang book like was so difficult. I cannot even describe. So that just takes a while anyway. So, but yeah, I just want to do everything bigger and better and just constantly try to trump, you know, my last effort. And, so 5 years from now, I'll just love to be just making movies and being on tour and stuff like that. Yeah.
One final question. How do you keep it all in balance? How do you keep it all in check given, especially now, this whirlwind tour that you're on, not only talking about the movie, not only talking about your book, but talking about your music and all the great performances that you've done, not only here in Philadelphia, but across the country, you know, in some of the venues that you've played. How do you keep it all in check?
I just got a couple great people around me that are extremely helpful when it comes to that. Yeah, I mean, mostly my tour manager, Dave Ricks, I pretty much owe everything, all of that to him, of being able to, and he's also like my producer, you know, we've known each other, been business partners for years now. And yeah, I really couldn't do it without him. And just, you know, there's a couple other people that just are extremely helpful. You know, you make a lot of lists, you know, they say lists are the key to like organization or whatever. Yeah, you got a hell of a lot of lists that you just try to check it off, you know, one by one and take everything day by day. And I mean, the key is just trying to just be positive about all this stuff. You cannot make it in this entertainment industry. It is such a, just like a fickle world. Like if you're not positive, I just think you have no chance, or you're not even going to be happy anyway doing it. So it's like, it's just not worth it. Like it's not worth it if you're not going to be happy with what you're doing. And I think that's the key. So yeah, it's having the right team and being persistent and staying positive.
Well, if this past year, past few years have been any indication as to where you're headed and where you're going, you are on to much bigger and better things.
I'm hoping, man. Knock on wood. Thank you.
Knock on wood. And I want you to know that you always have an invitation to come back and see us.
Great.
And I hope we do have the opportunity to sit down again in the future and talk about your brilliant career. You can find out more about Dave's music by going to his website, which is Dave Patton. That's P-A-T-T-E-N. That's DavePatton.com. Dave Patton, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Studio 89.7, a monthly program that focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. Please tune in on the second Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. for another edition of Studio 89.7, only on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM.